Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Hebrews chapter 13, verses 17 through 21. The Reverend Sean Denzer is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Hebrews, the 13th chapter. Beloved, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Pray for us, for we are sure that we have a clear conscience, desiring to act honorably in all things. I urge you the more earnestly to do this in order that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in you that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Office hymn 569. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
The office of the keys is that special authority which Christ has given to his church on earth. And we believe that when the called ministers of Christ deal with us according to his divine command, this is just as valid and certain, even in heaven, as if Christ our dear Lord dealt with us himself. The authority of the keys is special, unique, and defining to the church. It's given as a gift to the whole church and for her benefit. The ministers who devote themselves to it in God's office are rightly called servants of the Word, for it is by that Word that they speak and command and exercise this authority. That's how they deal with the church, as the Catechism says. It's kind of an unsettling way to put it, but it's much like today's text, obey your leaders and submit to them. Well, but consider the deal that the Lord has for you, and I think you'll find that it's a good one. The deal is that God would have the very peace of Easter morning that we heard about on Sunday, the peace of his wounds brought to you, just as it was to his disciples and to Peter and again to Thomas 1 week later. The deal is that they are going to act as called ministers, serving not themselves, but serving you for Jesus' sake. They are to watch over your soul for Christ's desires, which are always life and salvation, not abuse or for sport. Everything here in Hebrews 13 bolsters this picture of right authority in the church. Now, there's a weight that comes with that mantle, with the chasuble, the prayer is traditionally associated, with the yoke of Christ's office in the ministry. The pastor must be aware that God has placed him into this authority, an authority that is under his own much greater authority. Pastors keep watch, not because God is looking elsewhere and doesn't have time to look at what pastors are looking at, but no, he is not passing off his authority. That as if Christ dealt with us himself in the Catechism is not a contrary to fact statement like it sounds. Rather, faith must believe it. Faith must recognize that Christ himself is the one acting, even if they never see him face to face on this side of glory. They are hearing his voice, just as John's gospel said on Sunday, just as Luke's gospel also says, whoever sins you forgive, it is forgiven. And he who hears you, Jesus says, hears me. Well, if so, then the minister himself must know that God is watching his watchers, and that they will be judged more harshly, as James says. Christ will demand an account at the last day of his pastors. Now, was Moses of old a faithful servant in the house of God? Hebrews makes that case at length. Actually, it uses it to make the case that Christ is the much greater faithful Son. Moses, though, kept watch. It was sometimes a patient watch, seemingly more patient than God, that interceded for the people. But it didn't do it without many side conversations with God. Moses' watch was a watch that included a lot of anger at the people of Israel, which did not produce the righteousness of God, as you know. It was a watch that included that Deuteronomy text that most of you heard at the Easter Vigil. The collect that we pray right after that text makes it sound like it must have been a great, happy Easter song that Moses sang. But why don't you read the chapter? It really wasn't. It was a ballad of Israel's many failures and God's constant threat of judgment, trying to tell them to serve Him and to keep His commandments after Moses died. But hey, what do you expect from a shepherd like Moses, with a flock like the one that Moses had to tend through the wilderness? He was faithful in his speaking. But it could hardly be said that Moses is remembered for how he conducted himself with joy in the wilderness. He gave Israel back plenty of the groaning that they gave him. His patience was not endless. So it will be with your pastor. So the question is, what about you? Will you be to him a son of rebellious old Israel? Or are you a son of the great shepherd of the sheep in his true Israel? Every Christian will grow in his or her awareness of God and of your pastor's usefulness best by praying for your pastor. The apostle says, pray for us, because we are sure that we have a clean conscience. We are desiring to act honorably in all things. If that is ever unapparent in your minister, then you know what to pray. You should pray that he would act honorably. You should pray that he would act conscionably in all the things that he does. Pray not just that he knows that he stands accountable to God somehow, but pray that when he gets there, he may actually have a good account to give of himself and not be found wanting before God's judgment. Pray that your pastor would be saved, and that he would be faithful in his task now until that last day, that he would even be as faithful as the great shepherd of the sheep, Jesus Christ himself. Because to pray for all of these things, that would be of great advantage to you. On the contrary, to fail to pray for these things, that will give you Moses' horns at best. But more likely, it will take both you and your suspected hireling to hell together. Come on, don't cut off your nose to spite your face. And prayer is the best way to discover both that you're in danger of doing something so foolish as that, but it is also the way to remedy it. Call on the name of the Lord. Pray for your pastor. Call on the Lord in the name of his truly faithful Son and pastor, our shepherd, whom he brought again from the dead. This is the Lord who equips not only pastors, but all of us, especially the hearers and the beneficiaries of that ministry, with everything that is good to do his will. By the blood of his eternal covenant, he works in us that which is pleasing in his sight for Christ's sake. He is marvelous in his dealings with the children of men. And dear saints, it should be obvious and advantageous to you that he is pleased to restore all of us in his resurrection, not to the groaning of his salvation. But of course, to the joy of his salvation. Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.